We work in future. We know that social distancing is going to change a lot of things, and more people who can work from home will, at least in the short term. That shift to home working, talked about for years, was organised in a matter of days for millions because of the virus. Well, now that the end of the lockdown is in sight, companies large and small are planning how to organise what they'll do to minimise the risk of spreading COVID-19. They'll call on people like Robert Crossman for help with that. He's a director at Working Time Solutions, and he knows how to make the most of flexible working.
What the current pandemic is showing is that now there's a necessity for all organisations to accelerate the flexible working and actually engage with employees in terms of better ways of working that suits the needs of the business.
And tell me what you can achieve by changing the rotas.
There's certainly an opportunity to move away from traditional forms of working, for example, the 9 till 5. From a customer point of view, you've got increasing expectations in terms of 24/7. There's work-life balance issues, there's opportunities for less travel, more control in the hours that they work.
You say all that, but, you know, we sleep at night, we're awake in the day. Most business is still going to happen in daylight hours, isn't it?
We work with many organisations who've worked 9 till 5, and actually their demand is anything but 9 till 5. But I think it clearly does depend on the specifics of the organisation. Really, what we've now got is some new dynamics, including how do we socially distance, how do we travel? And there's lots of different ideas going around, split into two groups, work 3 on and then 3 off, perhaps work a 4-day week, or perhaps work 4 on and 10 off. But how does that actually meet your requirements in terms of your employees, but also the demands of your customers as well, to actually organise your workforce in that way?
Are you cleaning up at the moment?
There's certainly a lot of interest in market sectors we haven't traditionally worked. Key questions around how do I go about this? What are the type of options that are available? How can I actually implement them and get them to stick and work productively in the future?
Give us some examples of the companies who've come to you you've never worked with before.
We've not traditionally worked in retail and beauty therapists and hairdressers and that kind of environment. But now there's new issues there in terms of workplace capacity, because these organisations that are serving the public in cafes, hair salons and so on, just don't have the capacity to deal with the number of people that they previously did. So how can we open our operating window? How can we make more hours available to our customers?
I guess that's obvious, isn't it? You stay open longer.
That's certainly one solution. And within that, that creates some options in terms of the time of day, which is better for them.
So even in a hairdresser's, where perhaps you had 3 people working all together, 9 to 5, you might have them in 1 at a time and work them till 7 or 9 p.m.
That's a possibility. It can start earlier. The week can extend. That is an opportunity to actually open up capacity at different times, which could actually now fit with the new ways of working and the new social norms that we have in place, appointments at different times of the day and different days of the week.
Robert Crossman from Working Time Solutions. Well, we can talk now to a couple of other people in the thick of this right now. Anne-Marie Malley is an executive board manager with the management consultants Deloitte. And Franz Callier is the chief executive of PD Ports. It runs cargo operations at 13 ports, mainly on the east coast of England. Franz Callier, how many people do you employ then? How many have worked right through the lockdown?
We currently employ 1,274 people, and with the exception of probably 30 or so, we have continued as we always did.
And what have you been doing differently? You say continued as you always did. How?
Well, first and foremost, we did what most people did. So where people could work from home, we ensured that that's exactly what they did. So we enabled all the IT infrastructure and the laptops to enable to do that. But the number at all, in terms of what we do, in terms of our frontline operations, we discharge cargoes from ships, containers and bulk cargoes and what have you, which is a very intensive frontline operation. And that has to continue. You can't do that from home. You can't drive a big ship-to-shore gantry crane from sitting in your backyard.
Can you do it easily and still distance?
By and large, well, you can, but not always. And I think that really caught us off guard, but really asked quite a lot of ourselves in the way we really had to risk ourselves, but also had some very open and honest discussions amongst ourselves, saying we have to get this job done, because if we can't get cargo into the port, then actually we stop feeding Britain in terms of all the essential supplies that we use on a day-to-day basis. So we have to get the job done. Not too dissimilar to the NHS, you have to carry on, but how do you do it in the most safe manner that actually minimises the risk of, let's say, a virus spreading? But you can't entirely rule it out, as you can't rule it out for people working in the supermarkets or any other key essential.
Has it got safer to keep going? Has it got safer to keep as you've gone along? Would you say it's got safer for those workers as you've got more experienced at it?
Yes, it did, because there's no rule book in terms of how to deal with a pandemic, so you're trying to pick your way through it. But quite early on, we delegated that authority in terms of what the solutions were going to be in the way that the terminals were going to work to the guys and girls that actually knew, which were actually the guys down on the ground. So quite quickly, we installed staggered meal breaks, different change times in terms of the shift break. So rather than people starting at 6 o'clock, a whole bunch of people start at 5:30, other people start at 6 and then 6:30 subsequently.
Anne-Marie Malley, how's your working life changed?
It's changed unbelievably. So I used to have a life where I was pretty much either in our offices or in our clients' offices, Monday through Friday. And now I find myself working from either my kitchen or my living room pretty much all day, every day.
Some people think we've preserved the worst of office life, you know, the endless meetings, but lost the best of it, the sparking off each other. What do you think?
I think there are a huge number of positives and some negatives. So I think that, of course, we miss the spontaneity, the collaboration, seeing people, and the social aspects of it very significantly. I think from a positive perspective, I think people are enjoying the fact that they're saving time, they've got less of a commute, they're saving money on their commute, and they're spending much more time at home with friends and family where they are living under those circumstances.
There'll be some people who really can't do it long term, won't they? Because they just don't have anywhere at home to work.
Absolutely. So there are swathes of people who don't have either a place to work, or at the moment I think it's particularly difficult.
Oh,
not available.
So sorry, we lost your line for a minute. You said it particularly difficult, and then we lost
for you. For people who don't have a place at home where they can actually work, and also for people who don't have at the moment childcare facilities. Now, clearly, when lockdown lifts, childcare and schools will come back, which I think many parents will be very relieved about, and therefore remote working for those people will become more of an easier thing to do. But there are people who we need to think about. They either don't have a physical space to work, or from a mental wellbeing perspective, working at home on their own is not working.
Before we leave it, could I ask you both briefly, Franz Callier first, the changes you've made, what proportion of them would you say will stay?
Well, especially for home working, I think there's a whole debate in our business now that it actually been largely successful. But I think you already touched upon it. There's also a question about mental health, well-being in terms of people need to interact with their colleagues. I don't think we'll go back to what we used to do, where everybody comes into the office. I think we'll end up with a hybrid system whereby some people work from home more often than not. Some people will continue to come into work as they have done before. But ultimately, there's going to be a new normal that will define the way we interact with each other going forward.
And Anne-Marie, briefly, if you would. How much of what you've done will stay?
I think quite a bit of it will stay. I think we'll define very clearly why we go to the office. It will be for collaboration, and it will be for personal development and for social interaction. And I think a lot of the work that we do will continue to do remotely.
I'm Marie Malley from Deloitte and Franz Callier from PD Ports. Thanks both very much. Hotels.